city council.
Hi, my name is Jakub Steiner. I'm not wearing a cap. I work as a graphic designer at Novell, and I'm hope to complement Bryce's talk about Inkscape with a practical demo of an Inkscape workflow. You've heard lots of features that Inkscape has, but the important thing is that you can actually do stuff, that there's a rather usable workflow involved when you do stuff. So what we're going to do in 30 minutes is, I'm going to be the only speaker here who's going to sit down, because I have to move on. I'm going to switch back to the desktop machine then, and hope that things get there. Well, let me just show you that I'm involved with the major project, free software, or free project that I'm involved with is the Tango project. We make, we try to unify this or define a style that will work for every free software project in terms of icon style. And right from the start, which was like 3 years ago, we chose to use free software tools. We used GIMP for the bitmap icons, and then Inkscape for vector icons. And through the time when Peter Sigging was talking about the use cases that they considered to be important for the GIMP project, I'm actually kind of leaving the bitmap world, and we use a vector editor Inkscape even for the tiny icons. I have a badge that says GIMP, and I'm going to be doing an Inkscape demo. And it's not going to be about icons. I'm just going to show you some cool workflow that even the basic, like we chose Inkscape before it got all this funky functionality, like clipping and layer masks and blur filter and everything, and it was still usable. SonicBody had quite a lot of functionality, but it was sort of aimed at implementing the SVG spec rather than giving an artist the tool to create artwork. And luckily, the Inkscape guys are doing a great job at actually thinking about people drawing stuff with Inkscape. So hopefully, if I switch this. Okay, it's probably, they're using wrong icons in here, but okay. So what we're gonna do? What we're gonna do is create a vector art based on. Picture, a bitmap picture, so that, because we only have 20 minutes, it's gonna be, like you've seen all the great work that Bryce demonstrated, that we're mostly based on using the blur filter, but that kind of work involves lots of time, and you tweak things for a long time. So we're going to do something very simple. So I just thought that doing a phone, razor images. I'm not going to do it in perspective because of things that I'm going to mention. Let's see. No. send image as. Well, I'm just going to play this. I can actually find it on the desktop and run Inkscape. So we're at applications, graphics.
Probably about far as the launcher.
Unwind, so.
It's in the middle, right in the middle.
Oh, thank you, though. Okay. I'm sorry, guys, but I'm struggling with a basic window management problem. So I'm just going to do some resize the image canvas. Yes. Okay. And
oops.
Okay, there we go. We have our reference image. And I'm not actually going to like trace it. We're going to just cheat and use colors from the reference image and everything. How do I? Will people hate me if I just. Why didn't it show that? This is weird. can I just move the panel away?
It's probably locked.
If I full screen it, it's cool, but I still don't see the. It's weird. There's some window management issues. What? Why can't I resize the window? Well, because it's too small of a resolution, I guess.
You can't change the resolution because of the projector. You can't change the resolution because of the projector.
Well, the projector does 1024, but this computer doesn't. Ah. Well, this is going to be hard. Okay, never mind. I can just tweak it like this. One good thing is the Bryce Fold is the layer functionality that you can work in layers. Also, just using grouping the object is very useful. There's a separate layer dialog if you manage complex artwork. But for me, usually I can just live with a few layers and then use groups, like in GIMP where usually you end up with a million layers. So I'm just going to lock the background layer and create a new layer. Trace. And we're going to use a very useful primitive tool, which is the rectangle, and work from there to define a basic shape of the phone. I bring up the fill and stroke. I can actually use the picker tool to grab color from either vector or bitmap artwork to immediately get the exact color. I mean, to achieve photorealistic look, you usually need to shade stuff with gradients, but you know, it's always good to start having things look as close as possible to what you're doing. The rectangle tool is really awesome in that it with a very simple interface, provides something that people do very often in the surrounding rectangles. So I'm just going to do the small curve here. And then I'm going to abandon the, which is somehow not good in a workflow, that you set something in stone and work from there. But for me, if I want to do more complex shape than a simple rectangle, I need to convert this shape to just a regular curve, which you can do with some menu item that So like everything is accessible with shortcuts, so that it's really easy to work with once you learn how to access the functionality. So with really just a few clicks, we have the basic body, you know, it looks like this. Now we're just gonna use another functionality, which is the Boolean operations for this top part. This image is not very high resolution, but never mind. So I'm just gonna do another rectangle on top of that. I'm actually gonna work on the other, that's why I have like two copies. There's very, people like usually ask about this. These status icons are very useful. These define what is affected by transformation. So this is the stroke width. So for example, if I would have colored stroke, which is 2 pixels wide, and I have this turned on and I scale the object, it remains, it's affected by the transformation. If I turn it off and scale the object, the preview shows that it's scaling, but once you release it, it remains being 2 pixels. In the same manner, you have rounding of the rectangles. You have gradients. You can keep the, if you turn it off, the gradient will remain, you know, positioned the way they were, or they are affected with the transformations or something. You usually have turned on, but there are cases where you want to turn it off. But these two, like the strokes and the roundings, are very common to be toggled on and off for a particular situation. So I have to speed up a little. This is another thing, cool thing. For example, you don't really see much of the artwork like this. If I'm having, there's an outline preview which works, which is useful for many things. You have a complex artwork, and you want to quickly navigate within the artwork, or in this case, there's a bitmap that's, you know, that obstructing the view of what I'm actually editing the shape, and it's also much faster. So when you have complex artwork, you change to the outline preview and you can do funky stuff. Another awesome functionality of Inkscape is that you can get very precise with the transformations. I don't think I've seen it. I've abandoned the proprietary Illustrator version 9 long time ago. So maybe they do that now, but they didn't have that. And that's being able to work with the, do transformation in the view level. You usually have like the document units. And if you zoom in and do the transformations like with a keyboard, it remains jumping, you know, with the units relative to the document and not the view, the zoomed view. With Inkscape, if you press Alt as a modifier to every transformation that you do, which can be, and I'm really just using the keyboard, which can be just cursor keys moving. You can use keys for rotation, and if you just Alt, it always moves by a pixel of the current zoom level. So if you want to have really precise movement, you zoom in and you move by a single pixel. You zoom out to turn up, and this works really well. And so what I'm now going to do is I'm going to scale this like this. Get the desired all the unnice things happening here are because of the window management. And so now I have two objects, but for what we're going to do, I want to merge them together. And there's Boolean operations on the path. You can chop objects from, you know, using another object and merge them in this case. I'm just going to do the union so that what we ended up with is, you know, the basic shape of the thing. So to move along, I should have, for this multi-level undo, so I could have undoed, I'm going to duplicate this for further use. Let's see. I can see there's a, well, you can't see because the image is very crappy, but there's like a highlight at the bottom of the thing. Inkscape has a quite interesting functionality of something called linked offset, which creates like an outline of an object. I'll show you. So it's like a copy of the object, but it's actually whenever you modify the original, this is also affected, but it's not just a linked object, which Inkscape also includes. This actually has a special, special function in that you can, keeping the same outline, you can offset it both ways. You can make it smaller and you can make it, you know, bigger. It doesn't work in all cases. Like sometimes if there's the shape is spiked, there's very sharp angles, you sometimes get spikes. But even if you can at any point of time make this, you know, special linked object a proper regular object and then just fix it up, it still saves a lot of time. So to get the highlight, I'm just gonna do something that while it's in the SVG spec, things like Illustrator kind of do, and that's using alpha and gradients and actually using gradients on strokes. Such an advanced functionality. And then I'm going to use the very powerful blur filter, which, you know, sounds like a very simple addition, but it really like opened up the world of photorealistic vector art. And if, you know, the actual, you know, vector art remains very simple. It's just a few. I mean, it was possible to do with like blends of objects. There's an extension in Inkscape to do extrapolation between two objects, but you know, you end up with a very complex artwork and without being able to easily edit it. So I can see that we're not going to get very far with the demo, but let me show you another part where we want to get this sort of shading on the sides. The best way to do this would be to like have an outline, again blur it, but then you end up with a fuzzy outline of the object. So what we do is I'm gonna just create a regular duplicate of this. I'm gonna forget about fill. I'm gonna make it have some stroke. I'm going to blur it. And if this was, the newer, it's kind of, you know, you'll be working with gradients a lot, and things have improved very much in the version in trunk, in that you can edit gradients on canvas. In here, I will still have to, like, I can define it. But, you know, with the newer version, I could actually add gradient stops in here and change the color the way I usually do. This is kind of cumbersome. I have to go to stroke. Why isn't it done? Edit. And I'm going to add another stop. This will be full. All the colors will be. Actually, I'm going to add another one. And then this offset, which is kind of hard to do. This is a programmer interface to gradient editing. Okay, so we have basic shading here. But you can see that it's fuzzy on the outside. And actually, if we had a piece of window right here, we could hide this, and you can see that, you know, it has, it goes over the edge, which we don't want. The window one is really broken. I don't know what's well, if I could just, will people hate me if I delete this panel? Oh, sorry. So we can move on. So what we do is I'm gonna just duplicate this object. Another thing, you know, it's not a feature, or you know, it's extremely awesome for me to not go to some palette to toggle or even have the layer palette and find which object I want to select. With Inkscape, you can pretty much, even if you use groups, you can nicely select objects. Either there's a tab key, and you can figure out which object it is by looking at the properties of the object. So, you know, just like when you're, you know, alt tabbing with Windows, you can tab through objects. There's also a way to do it interactively. If I alt click on the canvas, it will, what's this control button? I think it's alt click. Doesn't work, I'm not sure. No idea what it's for. But if you Alt-Control click, it goes within the group as well. So I don't know why it needs me to do that. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's window managers. We love that. I'm going to select the object below the ones and duplicate it. And I'm now going to use something called clipping mask. I'm not going to do anything else because clipping masks work in a way that you sort of clip an object with a path that's above it. So I have an object which is the blurred stroke, and I shift click on the same outline, really, just and use this as a clipping mask. So if I go back to the bitmap and hide it and look at it, you can see that it does what we want. It clips whatever was shown on the stroke object, and we get what we wanted. The thing is, you even get, well, we now have multiple object overlay, but on the outline preview, it's drawn in different colors, so you know that there's a clipping mask involved. There's also something even more powerful. I really didn't think that we were going to get that far, because we're running out of time. There's also the other thing, which is masks. So you can similarly like flip an object, but you have alpha. You have multiple levels of transparency available for you to do this. So what else would I nicely show you? I'm just thinking, you know. I would just be, you know, using very simple objects like the rectangular tool and using fill and gradients to like gain the all the effects like this. One, you know, cheesy thing that people like to do on shiny surfaces is just, you know, in case we would want Motorola to have non-readable display, it would fill with white, create a linear gradient, and then have an elliptical object on top of it, and then just get the intersection, and we have a nice shiny, well, nice. Not nice, but shiny overlay, you know. So that looks like a glass object. It's not only about the number of features that Inkscape has, or in fact still lacks, because I've chosen an object that's, you know, upfront really simple. But imagine if I would be doing an object that's slightly tilted, and even if I'm just tracing, you won't get things right. And if you've seen when I'm editing the paths with the node tool, which is really nicely done, but sometimes the shape is off, and in my case, I have like three, I didn't do much here, and I have like three objects on top of each other. And I would like to, like, for example, extend this just a pixel of this, just a few, you know, millimeters up. And I would have to do this for every object, or I would be, you know, setting up my artwork the way Andy does. He's not drawing, he's, you know, creating duplicates. And, you know, then I could just edit this one object and all the clones would follow the shape. But, you know, for example, if you realize that your perspective is wrong and you just want to tilt or shift an edge, you have to, in Inkscape currently, you have to go object by object. So having, I don't know if that's functionality or just having the option to have a selection, and then the node tool would work on the selection, would, you know, increase the speed of me doing stuff really dramatically. But you know, you see, it's not painful. You can do stuff fairly quickly, although we didn't get much far in this small demo. Are there any questions you would like to ask? Yes?
I have a question. See how, like, for your X and Y, and then your width and height, like, they're a decimal values, like, they're not integers? I find sometimes that, like, I'll get really into a drawing, I'll do that, and then when I export the PNG or whatever, it's, like, blurry on the edges because of that, and then I have to go through and
get rid of the decimals. When we're doing icons, that's, like, one of the greatest things that the way things are previewed or viewed on canvas in here, they're exactly the same way rendered with Nubar SVG and stuff like this. What we use is we have the grid functionality, which has a really nice shortcut. Not on a French keyboard. There's like you know, the hash symbol and the number symbol. You know, so that, you know, you can easily remember if you're not on a French keyboard to toggle it. And it snaps when you're node editing, it snaps to the right points. So you know when you're using pixels as your unit. And then you can see perfectly. The other useful thing is there's possibility to have multiple views on the canvas so that you can have one view. Well, if you had bigger resolution, it would make more sense. One view at one-to-one, and then you work on a zoomed view, and it updates real-time. There's also an icon preview, but it kind of, there's something called icon preview, which, kind of tells you that, oh, we're scalable, so you can only do one icon, and it will work on all these resolutions. And you have to, it doesn't update in real time, so you have to refresh every time you change. It's not very useful for us, because at the time of our project, we believe in pixel precision, and for the really tiny resolution, we have to do like manual work to get to the grid perfectly. But with Inkscape, it's fairly easy using the grid to snap to the... And with these toggles, it's actually pretty easy even just to use regular transform. So you don't distort, like if you use a rounded rectangle and you just, do a transformation, scale transformation, it will still keep the rounding non-distorted. So in many cases, it's useful just to use that kind of things. But of course, I would love to have the icon preview update, real time, so that I wouldn't have to have a complete copy of the window to see. Any other questions?
Just a quick note, for the Jupyter preview window, you can actually, in preferences XML, turn off the menu bar if you like.
Well, yeah, but there's another thing, like, it is true that you can, like what we did here is, I can hide all these things to make it more compact. But then it remembers that, and when I create new document,
yeah.
it remains. So, some apps actually have like, I think it's Epiphany, it has like hide toolbar or something, so that you can temporarily just hide everything and put it back. It's kind of, I would kind of love, I can preview is fine for my purposes, but it would have to, update real time so that, when I'm positioning things to be precise, I would, look at the one-to-one preview to see if it really fits. Because, I have to use glasses to see the monitor in front of me. Awesome. So, I have an opportunity to thank the Inkscape developers for providing a tool that is a free tool. And I think the Tango project would not have been a success like this because we wouldn't have that many developers, artists participating if I wouldn't just be able to say, guys, you can go and download the free tool and you can contribute without any investment. Yes?
Consider yourself as a contributor.
Well, with Inkscape, not particularly strong contributor. I filed some bugs, but that's about it. But I'm more involved with other projects. I mean, I'm just using the hard work of other people. That's why I didn't put Inkscape on the badge. Any other questions?
Another thing is that I'm interested in is, if I remember correctly, there is something with the SVG switch having a resolution dependent switch. Do a resolution dependent switch using the SVG switch type, which I think would probably be nicer on compositors like you.
Actually, I think the problem is we already have set up. Hey, we have a
workflow and things are arranged in a way, but what would really be nice for me to be able to at least see all the resolutions, all the icons and all the resolutions on a single canvas. The switch is awesome, but it involves a lot of hacking and it's perhaps not even necessary. Just having a script, or I know that now you can actually export objects based on the name. So even from, it used to be like an extension or a script, but now you can actually, from the export dialog, you can say that you want the objects exported by the name of the objects, so it like chops up, which we could have used to actually have all the icons on a single canvas and then just have the script run through these SVG images and export all the resolutions would be fine enough. But one thing is that with complex artwork, things start to be slower. So I don't know if we combine multiple copies of the same work, or you guys should just make things faster.
That seems like a good question.
Okay, I just want to let you know that there's a coffee break, but you can use the coffee break as you wish. So if you want to ask more questions,
or
it depends on the kindness of the presenter. So.